1440 KVON 99.3 The Vine. This is Kelly and my good friend here with me, Ms. Lori from Napa Valley Nursery School. Good morning.
I'd say good morning, but we say hey, Lodeo
Doe. Hey, Lodeo Doe. Absolutely.
That's our way to say hello.
We have been catching up so far. I mean, I have such great memories from Napa Valley Nursery School, and it seems like just yesterday.
And my kids are. That's how fast the time
goes. It goes so fast. When you're in it, it feels like forever.
Yes. Yeah. Long days for parents, long nights for parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then next thing you know, they're in middle school.
Like yours.
Yeah. And you're just going, wow, I can't believe it. But this year is the 60th anniversary of Napa Valley Nursery School. How exciting is that?
Isn't that wonderful that we've had a community of families for that long and saying, I want to participate, I want to be there.
And 25 years for Ms. Lori.
Thank you, yes.
Wow, that is so wonderful. Now,
it's exciting.
For those that don't know, Napa Valley Nursery School is a co-op. What does that mean?
Well, as a co-op, there's a teacher, myself, the accredited teacher there, but then there's parents working in the classroom side by side. They are, there's myself and then five working parents as staff. So we're able to have lots of great centers for the children. They provide the environment for them to come and explore and discover and socialize and be there. And the parents are watching their children grow and learn and play and develop and seeing each stage of development, which is so lovely. The parents, as the co-op part, not only do they help the classroom run, but they also come to parent meetings for parent education. That's part of our bigger picture of the co-op school, is that we have a parent education component. They run the business of the school as far as they are the, there's a board of 15 members that the parents are taking care of all of the treasury parts, the funding of things, how everyday classroom works, from even purchasing our items for us with our budget or making our Play-Doh that we have to have on a regular
basis.
And
the flubber.
Flubber, yes. Although nowadays we've been making, the children and I have been making the flubber together, which is so much fun to just stick your hand right in that white goo to pull out that blob of flubber. But anyway, so we have all the components that the parents actually do to make it happen for the nursery school
and
every
that's
day.
So nice. So. The parents are so involved, and that was what really appealed to me back then. It's not as a preschool you might think of as 5 days a week, morning till noon or morning till afternoon. It's not like that. It's a little different.
Right. We don't have extended day care. It's more of an enrichment program that is both the morning program, and then we have an afternoon class as well. And so the parents come, but not every day with their children. The parents are committed to 3 to 4 times per month where their children come 3 days a week or 2 days a week.
Right.
And
I always loved it. I always loved
the work days when you were there in the classroom.
Yeah. I loved it.
I mean, you're getting to see child development hands-on right then.
Right.
You are looking at your own child, of course, because you're seeing that on a regular basis every day at home, but and seeing how they interact and how they play and how different they are from each other, how different they are, your children at the school compared to home, and learning what other children of the very same age could look like and how it could be different. So definitely hands-on child development. And the parents work really, really hard at that. Even looking at the details that we talk about at the parent meeting, they look for that in the classroom then and are growing themselves while their children are growing.
That's
it's really together.
Huge.
Together we're better, not only the parts that make it happen and make it work, but together we're better in the growing and learning. It's really exciting, that part.
That was so helpful to me because, as we were saying during the break, that I've never done this before.
Right.
I've never parented before. I've never parented a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old. Every time my child would hit that stage, it's brand new.
Yeah, that baby's born, it's washable, but they don't come with instructions, darn it. And we just have to figure that out. And of course, so many people are just wanting to be the best parents for their children.
Right.
So they're looking at every little detail. And of course, lots of pressures from society
for
this is how you should do it or try this thing. And
a
lot of it's marketed. So we have to figure out where the gain is there.
Right.
Is it for ourselves as the parent or is it for that marketing product or whatever to make these super children that we just want to provide everything for them?
Yeah.
So I think that...
It helped lighten the load, I think. The guilt factor, like you're talking about, in the media, books, magazines, everywhere we turn. Oh, your baby's not sleeping through the night. You must be doing something wrong. Do it this way. And that's one thing that I learned at Napa Valley Nursery School, where just that what's within the realm of normal?
Exactly.
There's a wide range of normal, but is this the stage of development?
Right. And every stage of development is just complete right in itself. We're not trying to make the next 3-year-old not an unfinished 4-year-old, the 4-year-old not an unfinished 5-year-old, and on and on. I mean, we could be giving them things for much later years in life right now if we thought that would help them, but instead taking a look at what is normal right then and there and saying it's okay what your behaviors your children are doing.
Right.
And of course, the most unhappiness comes from the comparing. And yet, threes and fours and fives side by side are all looking a little bit different, too. We have those individual temperaments, and we're learning about that and watching that happen. And even when we're knowing it and understanding it and watching it develop and in the classroom, and parents are trying so hard, there's this one lovely parent who recently said, oh, in my trying, we're looking at feelings and feeling cards. And so she's trying to explain to her children what she needs and figuring out what her children need. And they work together really terrific on, you know, things that will be the best for parenting. And then yet she says, I don't know what to do, though, when I'm saying, okay, here's the feeling that I'm having, and this is what I need from you, and this is what you need, and we're working that out. And yet her 6 or 7-year-old is just making funky little faces at her all the time while she's doing it. And she's like, okay, this is not working. This
right.
is not working. But really was working because he was listening and hearing, but he was just going through all of his antics of that age. And we see all the kids going through the antics of those 3- and 4-year-old ages, too. They're not coming there to learn to the nursery school, to learn ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. That happens anyway.
Right.
We don't even have to provide that as far as a sit-down lesson
That's
to
such
do.
Such a pressure.
Ever.
Start when they're 1 and 2. Do flashcards. And wow.
Oh, yes, yes. You know, I think a lot of this came as we learned more about brain development, maybe like 15 years ago, we started seeing that, oh, this organ in the body is pretty complex and we're understanding what it does, so let's fill it up.
Right.
And yet, children had been unfolding and developing exactly the way they do now for years and years and years, and just because we have new information, we felt like we could just start filling that all that up right then at that early age. And the fact is, children never changed. They still needed to play. They still need to go over and over and over things.
Mm-hmm.
Our society gets so much faster. We have so much technology. But that's not how children grow and develop as far as the speed of that. And we're used to that fast, fast, fast.
Right.
But slowing down is the biggest part, I think, that's of importance. One of the parents recently said to me, you know, and I think it's not necessarily because she heard it at nursery school, but we talk about the every little moments that they're doing and why they jump and 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 jump while you're talking, and how that is really okay and exactly what their bodies are supposed to be doing. And just looking at that and being able to slow down, this mama said, you know what? I'm ready in my life to slow down. I feel the pressures of school. I feel the pressures of society. And how can I just slow down and listen to my children play?
Mm.
Listen to my children play, watch my children play. And for her, she wasn't really looking for the answer. She was just kind of chatting it out with me and feels like, you know, I get it. I really want to slow down and just see my children unfold. And we don't have to do a lot in order to enrich their lives.
We can let them play, and that's what
oh,
I learned from you, is child's play is their learning, is their work.
Right, right. I cannot express the importance of the value of play and going over and over all the things that they've been thinking about or playing and doing. My sister recently took a walk with her dog, and she said she was walking out by this vineyard, and in the vineyard, at this vineyard site, they had a little amphitheater. And from a distance, she was watching a child, 4 or 5, and this child was alone in the amphitheater, but she was totally making the most wonderful production, and she was the star of the production. And my sister watched from the distance and said, it was amazing to just watch her through her complete performance. And she said, she could see so much going on there. She could almost hear the audience clap when the little girl was bowing to say, you know, she's finished with her performance. But that play was so important and so big in her body, big in her mind, big in her thinking. And it's all through that play and the creative thinking of this brain that we were just talking about.
Right.
That goes on innately. And I'm not sure we give enough to that playtime, because our downtime is supposed to be the play, but the downtime for us often, even as adults now, we don't really have that quiet time for thinking. Our downtime is email. Our downtime is texting on the phone.
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm sorry, but
you're right.
Yeah. We don't ever just stop.
Going on Facebook, watching television. Mm-hmm.
Those are your few moments of downtime, but your brain is going click, 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 click during those times. And you're not giving your brain the quieter thinking that it needs. And it's certainly, you know, the brain is not quiet.
No.
While you're, even when you're trying to be quiet,
it's
going, going, going. And your children's are too. Only at just a different stage. And at those early stages, like the threes, why? We don't have to fill it. They're wanting to fill it for them. They're saying, tell me about this. Tell me about that. You just were talking a little bit before, is that how you're still conversing with your teenagers.
Right, absolutely.
And I think that's really all it takes, is that talking time with your children. Talking about what they're doing, labeling what they're doing. It doesn't have to be instruction when you're doing it, but just every little question. They want to know every little detail. You explain it. You explain what stirring is, flipping the spatula. All of those just little moments that are just talking, and then they're redoing it in their play later.
That's true. They do. When little kids play, you see them playing grown-up things, sweeping or cooking or
all the things they're seeing modeled in their world.
Right. So that's important to remember, too, as a parent. I'm modeling for my kids.
Oh, my goodness. So if you're spending the time on texting, and if you're spending the time on email, et cetera, that's what they're seeing, too. And certainly that's going to be part of their tools later. But just being with you and talking with you is so important. You were saying that now, as you're older years, that you're talking with your children about just discussions on a regular basis about what they think about things, what their world is about. And
they're processing. They're still processing.
Right. And it's such a big thing. I know it sounds like, oh, so fun, so sweet, so gentle, so easy. But the fact is, it's 24/7. And sometimes you're sleep deprived as a parent of young children trying to deal with that. So not only the community at Napa Valley Nursery School, is it great to come together so that you can do your work together as parenting together and seeing that, but it doesn't have to be at Napa Valley Nursery School. It's whatever your community looks like, and pulling together so that parenting doesn't have to be done alone. So many other cultures have a bigger family circle than we do, and that's certainly helpful to help that growing child who just wants to ask questions and be with you and be with you and be with you.
Oh, it's so nice. Well, one of the beautiful things about Napa Valley Nursery School is that it's parent-run, and that makes it very affordable. It's affordable for just about anybody. But then we need to do a fundraiser to help support that budget.
Right. We do run in the deficit as far as our tuition goes. We do have a tuition assistance for people who would like to be part of that big commitment. But the tuition is very affordable monetarily. And I think that their commitment, though, to the school is the big portion of parents are priceless. So it's a big costly tag then, I think, to come to, because you're really giving of yourself, not only for your own child, but for other
children.
Other families, other parents, whether carpooling or bringing over meals to one another to support.
It's a wonderful community, I tell you. But we need to have this fun. I might say we, because I still feel like I'm a part of the Napa Valley Nursery School family.
Well, all alumni are.
Yes. And Moonlight Magic. Gosh, back in the day when my kids were little, we were doing Moonlight Magic.
It's the 19th.
Big fundraiser. And the 19th Moonlight Magic. And it's coming up on the 26th of this month. So tell us a little bit about it.
All right. It's a great auction, wine tasting, both silent and live auction. This year we're celebrating the reflections of the 60 years for Napa Valley Nursery School and my 25 years of not growing up. And
I love it.
And it's at Valley Gate Vineyards this year again, Kirkland Ranch Road. And we have some really lovely super raffles and some really lovely auction items for that event. Lots of good catering.
It's just a great time. Yeah. It's so much fun.
The cost to come to this event this year, of course, is $60 because it's our 60th year. And that's if you buy your tickets ahead of time. And like you, Kelly, alumni, I think once you're a member of the nursery school, yeah. you're always a member of the nursery school. So it's a great time to gather with all of the old families, too, and see some of the old pictures of the past. And
that's going to be neat. Know. 60 yes. years yes. of the school. I mean, mm-hmm. that's really exciting. Mm-hmm. So go to nvns.org.
Thank you.
And Ms. Lori has a blog now. Very proud of you.
Thank you.
So check it out, nvns.org. If you want more information about the school or Ms. Lori or Moonlight Magic and all of that, check it out. Ms. Lori, Yay. Thank you so much
hey,
for being here.
Thanks for having me here today.
It was a pleasure. And
bye, Lodiodo.
Bye, Lodiodo. It is 8:32, and it's time to check in the KVON newsroom.
I'm Leslie Lotto. With this news update, the USDA has reportedly come up with $17 million for the prevention of the